Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Definitely, I think, you know, Matt does a great job of holding the team accountable. And, you know, we're all starting to gel together. And I think, like I said, we're starting to go in the right direction.
Well, that's Kyle Pitts. You know, hopefully the Falcons are going to start going in the right direction, which is like winning games. Yes, there was improvement in week two, but then again, not a high bar, okay? Just saying, not a high bar to improve off that performance in week number one as they head off to New York to face the, to New Jersey, technically correct, New Jersey, to face the New York Giants on Sunday. Welcome back to the morning show. We're talking to you about three players you think the Falcons need to step up. We're also taking your answers on our Twitter at 929thegame this morning. What three Falcons players do you need to see more from right now this week and moving forward? We've got full phone lines here, so let's get to it here. Audrey is in Atlanta. She's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Audrey.
Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, John and Hugh. Good morning, 92.9 gang. Listen, my three players that I think the Falcons really need to step up, of course, is Matt Ryan. I think Calvin Ridley, because Julio's gone, and he really needs to step up and do his job much better. And Kyle Pitts, put him in more. And I have to say this, and I know you may not agree, but Matt Ryan is a veteran quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback. He's veteran. And he's a fair weather type quarterback. You know, we got down where we had 4 points, and we could have caught up and won. That would have been the greatest thing, to beat Tom Brady, you know. But, and I'm not expecting him to be Tom Brady, but we got all these rookie quarterbacks that are winning games. Come on, Matt Ryan. I mean, you can't keep doing that.
On your list.
Yeah, I did. I think he needs to step up. I definitely think he needs to step up. No question about that. You know, he has been put in a situation where, you know, Matt has done a great job of, I don't want to say towing the company line, because to me that just sounds so bad. But Matt has been through a lot of offensive and defensive coordinators. I mean, a lot of offensive coordinators, a lot of head coaches, and he's done nothing but what has been asked of him. And, you know, he's done a great job of that. He needs to a little bit more needs to be asked of him, because he's put, like, I could almost guarantee you, if Matt could say, if he could tell you how he really felt, he'd be like, damn, they gave me an offensive line that's trash. He wouldn't say, probably use the word trash. He'd probably be like, they have some challenges or some things like that. But that he's been put in somewhat a bad spot for his skill set, I should say. He's been put in a bad spot for his skill set, and there's been a lot being asked of him, and he just has to do more. He just has to do more because of the money thing, which I don't think is fair, but it is a part of life, and the fact that, you know, he's looked at as a leader of this team.
10th highest paid quarterback in the league, got to play like a top 10 quarterback, right? You're paid, you know, like it, you got to play like it. Eddie's in Winder. He's on with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Eddie.
Morning, John. Grand Rising, Hugh.
Good morning, Grand Rising.
All right, so got some bright spots with this team looking in second week, but we still got some issues. That swing door at Caleb McGarry, still an issue. Got to say Mike Davis is my second, just keeps getting stopped. And I got a tie between my third. Fabian Moreau and Isaiah Oliver in the secondary.
Yeah, I think you're not the only person that has a problem with Isaiah Oliver in the secondary. I've heard people complain about him a little bit.
Yeah, how many years are we going on now with Isaiah Oliver, right? I mean, there's been slight improvement. There has been. I mean, he isn't as toast as he was when he first showed up in the league, but he's, you know, never really kind of matriculated into a, you know, a star cornerback by any means. I don't think maybe it's too much to ask of him. I mean, he's got some of the physical characteristics. You know, he's big, he's tall, he's athletic, he's got long arms. And so there's a lot to like about him. He's gotten better as he's, you know, gone through the years. So, you know, there have been growth there. I don't think there's any question of that. But, again, when you're not getting any pass rush, it's hard to, you know, Hugh, I think maybe we start to accept the fact that when you watch a game like last week before he got injured, you start to realize that we may have a star in A.J. Terrell. I mean, a real Hugh.
Oh, no, he's playing. He's definitely playing, John. But like we were saying, pass rush and coverage go hand in hand, man. And it's hard to do when you got cats aren't out there leaving you out to dry, hanging you out to dry a little bit.
Larry is joining us. We're looking for three players that you think the Atlanta Falcons need to step up right now going into this game against the Giants. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing? I think Grand Rising, by the way.
Grand Rising.
I think Matt Ryan, definitely. McGarrity. And also Ridley, because we did lose Julio. But here's the thing. You know, Q said something a couple of weeks ago that, you know, we've been lied to. You know, we are in a rebuilding mode. Whether we have a better chance of losing every week than we do of winning. I give Arthur Smith a pass because he knew what he was getting into when he took the job. But don't let anybody fool. Anybody with any football knowledge can see we were in a rebuilding mode. We were bad last year. We're bad this year. We just got to take the little progress that we see. I'm sorry. We got to be satisfied with it because every week we've got a better chance of losing than we do of winning. That's just the truth. But anyone with any football knowledge knows that we're rebuilding. I'm a Falcon fan. I wish I could be more optimistic, but I'm just telling you the truth, guys. I'm just trying to be real with you.
No, I mean, I think we've mentioned this. You know, this was a team last year that was, you know, it was shot itself in the foot repeatedly and committed to, you know, violations on itself all the time. Stupid penalties, red zone issues, not recovering onside kicks. I mean, do we have to go down the litany of things? They gave away four games. Gave away four games. Seattle, Dallas, Chicago, and Detroit. They just gave them away.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win those four games, they're a 500 football club. And Dan, by the way, Dan Quinn's still the head coach.
Yeah.
They just gave them away. So we looked at the team, Hugh, and we said, well, just quit doing that. And you know, get a little bit better in a couple other spots, and you know, maybe you could be a 500 football team. And you said to us, you can compete with Matt Ryan. Okay, so you know, we'll go with that. This team right now, they didn't look like that team.
You know what, John? I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not. Let me say that first. But I think the most frustrating thing that I see is that they are not. The plays that we run feel like they're not conducive to Matt's skill set. And if I'm the only one that feels that way, please let me know, because that's what it kind of looks like. You know, you talk about that year that we went to the Super Bowl. It felt like the plays were conducive to his skill set. I don't know how many times he got sacked that year, but it just felt like it just worked. Everything flowed. And what I mean by that is you got Alex Mack. You had a good offensive lineman in front of him. You ran plays that got the ball out of his hands quick. You ran explosive plays. You were allowed to be explosive. It just feels like now, like there were times during the game where, yeah, they got the ball out of his hands quick. And I thought that that's kind of the route that you needed to go. Because, you know, you talk about the fact that this offensive line, they're garbage. Let me stop saying that, because they're not garbage. They've had their challenges. They've got their challenges. And it just feels to me like you should run more plays, in my opinion, from my purview, that are more complementary to the skills of your offensive lineman. And what I mean by that is get the ball out your hand quick. Get the ball out quick.
We got a couple more calls I want to get to before we get done with the segment here. But real quick, I just want to ask one question. Are we discovering, Hugh, the impact of the loss of Julio Jones. I mean, and we're not talking about Julio just making catches here, but Julio, when he goes out on the field, and this is what we try to explain to some fans, is when he goes out and splits wide, he gets, you have to shade a safety.
2 weeks in. What has Julio done? Okay.
No. I'm just talking about in the way that you have to play the Falcons. If Julio's out there, right, and you have to shade that high safety, to double cover on Julio, and then suddenly it frees up other things underneath and on the other side of the field. Correct. I mean, we all know that.
I mean, Julio's a special player, John.
Right.
But I don't think they have to do that now.
I don't think it's
safe to say or fair to say right now, 2 games in, that we miss Julio. I don't like, we talk about Kyle Pitts, and I know people feel like Kyle Pitts should do more and all this other stuff. But like I said, 2 weeks in, last week, 5 catches for 73 yards. It's not a bad 2 week stint in the NFL. You know, he ain't Gronk. He's not Gronk yet. He has the potential to be something like that. He's not asked to do all that just yet. I think give the young man a chance to grow. I think he'll be fine. He'll be fine. I don't feel like this is a we missing Julio right away. I think you ain't going to be able to tell that, John, until we about 10 to 12 games in, to be totally honest. I mean, that's the sampling size is too small to say that right now, I mean, in my opinion.
Michael's at Covington. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hugh.
Yo.
Frankie, what's going on, fellas? Good morning, Grand Rising. All right, so my three players, my number one has got to be Caleb McGarry. Everybody's ragging on Jalen Mayfield, but he's a rookie, man. There is no excuses for Caleb McGarry. I will never for the life of me understand as to why the Falcons took the tight end at number 4, knowing we needed the best offensive lineman available. My number 2 is Mike Davis. Cordell Patterson was brought in as a change of pace running back. Mike Davis is our starter, and I just haven't seen anything from him. All the raids through the offseason, man. I just haven't seen enough from him. Now, granted, the offensive line play hasn't been that good, but, man, where's the explosive? Where's the running through people like we thought he was going to be the Michael Turner for us, man? I just haven't seen it yet.
You know what's funny? My fault. You got it. My fault. No, you got it. My fault. I got premature with it. My fault. Go for it.
My third player is Deion Jones, man. I know he's playing a little bit out of position this year, but – he's got to play better. He got to the quarterback last game, but he's got to do a little bit better, man. He's getting washed in the run game. So I really need those three guys to step up. Hey, I appreciate it, guys.
Not a problem.
That was Michael and Covington, three players. Harry Douglas will weigh in and jump into the program here and give us his thoughts about what he sees of the Falcons. And we may ask him which three players that Harry thinks need to step their game up for the Falcons. When Harry Douglas joins us live next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Falcons Giants this Sunday in New Jersey. Coverage begins with the Wait For It tailgate show with Chuck and Hugh. And then, of course, the network pregame show with Chris and Harry and Wes and Dave on the call. Speaking of Harry, Harry Douglas joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about the Falcons, where they stand. May have to ask him our question of the day, too, as he's on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Wait For It is Atlanta's Ford dealer. Hey, Harry.
Kenfo.
How y'all doing this morning, fellas?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Kifo, what was your assessment of the game last week?
Well, I'll say this. I want to see more Cordell Patterson. I want to see more Kyle Pitts. Those are two guys who I think really stepped up in that ball game and made some plays for this team. And Kyle Pitts, he's coming along, man. He's coming along. He progressed better this week than he did in week one. So I want to see more of him. I think the Falcons offensively, man, had some key situations in that game. Now, I think third and fourth and the short situations weren't good. You had a fourth and one, and you had a QB sneak, and you was only down 7-0 at that time, and you didn't get it. You had a third and one run by Patterson. You didn't get it. You had a third and one when you were down 28-25, and you got stopped. You had a fourth and one that was an incomplete pass. So you were 1-for-4 on third down, on fourth downs. But those short yardage situations, that's when the O-line comes into play, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to nut it up, man. It's mano y mano at that time. Who wants it more, right? And if they get those first downs in those third and short, fourth and one situations, that might be a totally different ball game. Like a total different ball game. You look at the defense, and I think the turnovers hurt them as well. Those turnovers that we had led to 21 points, two pick sixes, and then the other turnover led to a touchdown for the Bucs. So that's 21 points right there that you gave them off the turnovers. And then defensively, I thought they struggled to stop the explosive plays. Now, I count explosive plays as 15 yards or more.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay had 9 of those. But I did think that they did a great job on third downs. They did a good job of getting to Tom Brady. The defense recorded 3 sacks and actually got one of them out for a turnover. Now, the offense didn't capitalize on that turnover, but you have to. I thought man coverage hurt the Falcons, especially down in the red zone. You look at the touchdowns that the Buccaneers scored. Gronk touchdown. One of his second touchdown was versus man. A defender peeking in the backfield. Gronk squeaked out of there for a touchdown. Mike Evans, both of his touchdowns. One of them was a pivot route. The pivot route is like you go hard on the slant, then you stop and you pivot back outside. That was a touchdown, and the other one was a fade route. And then Chris Godwin, his touchdown. One-on-one man coverage against Isaiah Oliver. That was another touchdown. So that's 4 touchdowns right there that you gave up in man coverage. So I don't know if man coverage is this defense's thing.
No, I'm not sure what is the defense's thing. Harry Douglas joining us. Harry, I get that Gronk is going to make plays. He, you know, he's still got some game, and obviously he's a great tight end. When he's running wide open, that you got to help me with.
And that was my thing, John. Like, you understand Gronk is going to make plays, but Gronk wide open on touchdowns, wide open on routes, that's inexcusable. And I understand that they do have 3 other guys who could be number ones, and Gronk is number one. I understand that. But at the same time, you want to make these guys earn what they get. You just don't want to give them gimmies, and they gave him some gimmies the other day.
So what do you do?
Out of all this we just said, they still had an opportunity.
They had a chance.
To win
they
had a chance. Game.
Yeah, no. Until Shankopotamus happened, they had the ball down 28-25, even after that great punt by Tampa that killed it inside the 5. You know, they had the ball. I mean, you were asking them a lot to come out of the shadow of their own end zone. But then Shaq Bottom has happened, and then the touchdown, and then, of course, the score was not reflective, of the game in a lot of ways.
The score was 28-25, and
right.
You had a 3rd-and-1 situation.
And you had the ball.
I tweeted. I said, come on, O-line, we need you. I tweeted that. At that moment, we needed the O-line to step up and say, no matter what, we're about to get this first down. I know you're going against a Ndamukong Suh. I know you're going against a Shaq Barrett, a Vita Vea, a JPP. I don't care. And I promise you, Arthur Smith doesn't care. 3rd-and-1 situation, we need a first down in that situation. I need the O-line to come through.
Is that why Mike Davis has not really shown us so far? I mean, it seems like Cordell gets in there, and he's able to make a play or two. But Mike Davis, we haven't seen so much out of him.
Well, the two guys, they're two different players, though, right? Cordell Patterson, he's a receiver, converted to a running back, return specialist, strong, can catch the football. He can do a lot of things out of the backfield. I'm not saying that Mike Davis can't, because I like when Mike Davis is in the open field because he makes guys miss as well. But Cordell has a little bit more wiggle to him. Mm. So their body types are different. They're two different types of players as well.
Talking with Harry Douglas as we get, towards the Giants game. The Falcons were able to make some adjustments offensively, and Hugh and I were kind of calling for it. I think, Harry, last week, you got to get the ball out of Matt's hand. We saw wide receiver screens. We saw, throws in the flat. We saw a lot more of getting the ball out of Matt's hand quickly and not so many, pound the rock and trying to go vertical, because you just can't do it with this offensive line. Even though Matt's a vertical player, the ability to go vertical is going to be rare, I think, with this team. I know they took like one big shot down the field, but you're just not going to be able to do it. So you're going to have to be a little bit more dink and dunk. Is that something that Matt Ryan's going to be able to do, you think, in order to try to offset what is an offensive line that is – Harry, to say that they're a work in progress is to be kind.
Well, 100% that's what you're going to have to do. And it's not just Matt Ryan. Big Ben has to do the same thing as well. A lot of people were harping, Big Ben's getting the football out of his hands too quickly. Well, we've seen with Big Ben hold a football, he's not going to be protected. So I think with both of those guys, man, you got to be able to – you got to get the football out of their hands and just keep the defense off balance. I thought Arthur Smith did a great job of keeping that Tampa Bay defense off balance. And getting the ball distribution was, I thought, excellent this week. You had 10 different guys who caught a pass versus last week. You didn't have that many guys. So I thought you got more people involved. You got Kyle Pitts involved. You got Russell Gage involved. You got Alameda Zacchaeus involved. You got Ridley involved, right? Now, I want to see Hayden Hurst step up a little bit more. I think Hayden Hurst is the guy that I want to see step up a little bit more now. And the offensive line, of course.
You know, Kim Falk, I have to ask you this question, and granted, it's a small sampling size, but I did play defense, so that's why I'm leaning on you, because you did play on the offensive side of the ball. To me, it looked like a lot of times last week and the week before that they were running plays that weren't conducive to Matt's skill set at times. Especially knowing when you have the offensive line challenged the way that they are. Does it kind of look like that way to you?
I won't necessarily say that. I would say you got to try to adapt to everyone on the offense. Mm-hmm. Right, and I understand that the quarterback position is very vital and key, but when you have Matt, that's a veteran quarterback, and then everyone else on your offense isn't so veteranish. You know what I mean?
you got to
kind of tailor towards those guys as well, because if you just tailor it 100% towards Matt, but it's not beneficial for the other guys on the offense, mm-hmm. then why are you even doing it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to pick your spot. Okay, I need to compliment these guys as well. I need to compliment Matt here, but I need to compliment these guys as well. So overall, I think it's a challenge, because what necessarily might be Matt's skill set might not be the right personnel right now, what they have. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. For example, pocket passer, and he doesn't have the people that can stretch the field.
Yeah, and then you don't have the pocket to be a pocket passer right now.
yeah, that's the biggest thing. The pocket, yeah, you don't have the pocket. Yeah, definitely.
Talking with Harry Douglas.
You got all those things come in factor, like when you thinking about plays that you want to run.
Former Falcons star and, of course, host of the Falcons Network pregame show, joining us on the waveboard.com hotline. I want to have a little bit of fun with you. I want to give you three quick questions. You ready, Harry?
Yep.
Okay, this is from our rapid fire segment earlier this morning. I asked the team, I'm going to ask you three quick questions. Falcons now, they will, yes or no, they will win back-to-back games this year?
Yes, I think they'll win this game against the Giants. And who do they have after the Giants?
The Skins.
That's an opportunity they can win that game. Because Washington's just not explosive offensively.
Over under.
Defense, but.
Right. Over under 6 wins.
I'll say over.
You had to think about it, though.
I say over. I'm gonna give him over.
And final quick question is:
Be quiet.
My bad. It was just that pregnant pause. Though. It just got me. I'm sorry.
Stop it.
And then the final rapid fire question was: split, sweep, get swept. Split, sweep, get swept against the Swampers.
I think they're going to split. I think they're going to split that. So, listen, when we talk about – let's go back to the wins. Okay, I got them beating the Giants, possibly beating the Washington football team. We know they're going to beat the Jets. I think they're going to beat the Dolphins because the Dolphins' O-line is more atrocious than the Falcons' O-line is. So, that's 3 or 4 wins right there. Jacksonville, that's 5. I think Detroit – yeah, I think they can get – over 6.
Yeah, we in the same place. We in the same space when it comes to that. I was just laughing because when you said it, it was like you was almost caught off guard. You was like you really, really had to think about it.
I didn't think he was gonna ask. I definitely didn't think he was gonna ask me that one. you dirty dog, John.
Well, you know, I just, you know, it's the question of the day. That's all, you know, about what's going to happen with the Falcons. Harry, as always, we look forward to you. Hey, well, you got, you know, you are a great follow on Twitter at HDouglas83. Anything else on your agenda, on your plate right now?
Well, I want to break plays down, but the NFL Game Pass, I don't think they have the all-22 copy up yet. So if you're listening to me, NFL Game Pass, get your stuff together before I cancel my subscription.
I need to probably get that, man, because this search, I need to see the tight copy. I need to see the line copy to see what's really going on.
They took it down because they was fixing something, so I can't really break down plays because I don't want to be guessing off of film that I'm watching. I want to know where guys are so I can make my assessment of what's going on.
Gotcha.
Harry Douglas, always a great follow. Always great to have him on the show. Thanks, Harry.
I appreciate it, guys.
We will catch up on a couple of things with college football. The new polls are out. What does it mean about the playoff? Can we kind of start to dig through that a little bit? Who are we looking at for the Heisman Trophy? Is that do you have any favorites? Right? I know it's early in the year, and it'll develop, but right now? Okay. Yeah, it's a good question. We'll catch up with that and let you know what's going on with the injury report in Athens. If you missed it earlier, we'll update you on that as we continue with John and Hugh next on Sports Radio 910, The Game at Odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, and I know that we're only a third of the way into the season here, but we're trying to figure out kind of, you know, the lay of the land in terms of certain things, Hugh. One is conference, as we get into conference play now, as serious conference play in the next week or two, and we get the lay of the land here. I'm trying to figure out kind of, you know, who the players are when it comes, because we're so spoiled, well, not spoiled, but we're so used to over the last few years that, you know, it was same as it ever was. It was chalk, 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 and chalk over the last, like, 5 or 6 years where, okay, it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and one. Who's the other team that's kind of in the mix? You know, that's kind of what it's been.
Uh-huh.
This year, I think the only thing so far to this point that we know is that the SEC champion and the Big Ten champion are going to be in the playoff. That I know. I know for a fact. The SEC champion and the Big Ten play. And the rest of them, I have no idea. And who those champions are, that's because if you're ranking right now, Hugh, let's take the Big Ten for example. You could make an argument that the Big Ten East has been, and Mike Conley said this yesterday. Of course, he's a little biased. He is a Penn State fan. But I don't think he's necessarily wrong, that the Big Ten East has been the best division of any conference in America so far this season, slightly ahead of the SEC West. It is a really strong and deep division. And right now, you can make an argument that Ohio State, if you were ranking the teams based on what they've played so far this year, Ohio State has been the fourth best team in that division. The Penn State's been better than them. Michigan's been better than them. Even Michigan State has been better than them.
Oh, yeah, Michigan State, I think they surprised a lot of people this weekend, for real.
Yeah, they went down to Miami and laid the wood to Miami.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and that was a back-and-forth affair for a while, but, yeah, Mel Tucker got them cats playing.
Yeah, Mel Tucker does. He's got really good quarterback, a really good running back. They are a legit team to throw a monkey wrench in here. So Ohio State's got its hands full. And not that Ohio State can't win the Big Ten. C.J. Stroud has shown that he's got some potential, and he's going to get better as the season goes along, the new quarterback at Ohio State. They've got a lot of talent around him. But, you know, if you look down the list here, Hugh, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Oregon. Okay, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Oregon. Are you buying that any of those four teams, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Oregon, is a lock to run the rest of their schedule and not lose a game?
Not the way Oklahoma's look. You know, they've had they were a little shaky out the gate. So, not really. Not at all.
I'm not buying Clemson to run the table. I know that they're still, look, Clemson is still the favorite in the ACC. And some people would say, well, you know, look around the ACC. You know, they've got a pretty easy schedule. The league isn't very good, you know, and whatnot. But they will face some challenges. Boston College is a decent team. I think we saw last week that Wake Forest is a decent team. The Virginia Tech is a decent team. And so there are going to be some challenges that Clemson has, probably far, far greater challenges than Georgia Tech. And that's not a slight against Georgia Tech. It's just that, you know, right now there are teams that are ahead of Georgia Tech. So it wouldn't shock you if Clemson lost to get another game. And if they lose another game here, they're out. They're just out. And Ohio State loses another game, they're out. You know, and then you've got Oklahoma and Oregon. I mean, I know Oregon went to Ohio and won that game. But honestly, I got to tell you, I like Anthony Brown. I like C.J. Verdell. I like what Mario Cristobal has done. I think the Pac-12 is fairly deep, and as a result, I don't see Oregon going unbeaten. I think, you know, I think Washington, for all the struggles, could step up and smack them. I just don't think they're running through the Pac-12 unbeaten. They're not that team. Okay, mm-hmm. They won a game at Ohio State, and they're a good football team. Okay,
that was a good win for them, though, especially on the road. What was it, the Kayvon kid, when he, even though he wasn't out there on the field.
Kayvon Thibodeau, right.
Yeah, that he wasn't playing. Right. I mean, that was a real good win for them.
Oh, no, Oregon's a good team.
Nobody thought they were going to do what they did.
No, and granted, Oregon is a good team. And I'm not saying they're not a good team. But that's what they are. They're a good team. You know, they're a good team. I'm not sure that there is a super team out there, which is why I've had this, you know, Alabama fans want to come at you and, you know, until the defending champ loses, you got to go with the defending champion. I'm like, okay.
I mean, you kind of do. I mean, listen, well, Florida, like, who's the guard? The guard for number 55 for Alabama? He had a long day, John. They had a long day. Like Florida's defense was getting up the field and getting penetration. That was one of the main reasons why they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't do a whole lot, Alabama, that is, because 55 was getting beat off the dribble. He had a Jalen Mayfield day. He definitely had a Jalen Mayfield day. That was one of the things that I was watching because I got a big fan, big Alabama fan, and they were asking me why can't they run the ball like that, and I was like, because 55 is getting beat. He's getting beat like almost immediately. He was getting beat, John, and they were in the backfield. They were in the backfield, so that was the problem. Well, let me see what number 55's name is for Alabama. Emil Ekior, yeah. Emil Ekior Jr. was having a long day. He had a long day.
And look, I hold Alabama, granted, to a different standard. And for that matter, Clemson, to a different standard. Because based on the last 5 or 6 years, they're held to a slightly different standard. And the standard is, if you appear to be mortal, and Clemson certainly appears to be mortal, they lost to Georgia, almost lost to Georgia Tech. Mortality in them as a football team than we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years. So that's the question here. And from a complete standpoint, offensively and defensively, who do I think has looked like they might be the best team in the nation, or you know, everybody? I think let me put it to you this way. The two teams that have impressed me the most so far this season are Georgia and Penn State. Those two teams have impressed me the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think Iowa is a pretty good football team too. I want to see Michigan play somebody else besides just Washington before I kind of jump on that Michigan and, you know, they finally got a quarterback thing. Because if they do, which they may, Hugh, if Jim Harbaugh finally – that Jim Harbaugh hasn't had a quarterback at Michigan all these years, if he finally has a quarterback, and he may, then, yeah, Michigan's going to be a handful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Georgia and Penn State are the two teams that have really kind of – I've kind of looked at and said, okay, you know, if I'm picking right now and you're telling me to pick a playoff team, to pick playoff teams, I'm putting Georgia and Penn State in the playoff, and then I'm trying to figure out who else is
in. See, I haven't – like, I watched a little bit of that Penn State game, but I've watched all the Georgia games so far, and I'm a big fan of the way that defense is playing, John. That defense is playing so well right now that they're starting – they don't have to blitz as much as they did in the first game, I would say. They're getting to the point where, you know, they're just beating people with the straight four-man front. Like you talk about the guys that they have up front for Georgia, they're getting to the point where it looks like they're just beating people with four people up front. Like you know, with Jordan Davis leading the way, they just line up and they just beat everybody. That's what it looks like to me. So and any defensive coordinator tell you, if you got a defense that can do that, that can just sit back and we can play coverage and they can just put pressure on everybody, dude, that's love. That means you're like every matchup you're favored in, you can sit back and you can just play coverage on the back end. Like if you had some flaw, like hell, if that defensive line is bringing it like they've brought it the last couple of weeks, hell, I can sit back there and play coverage.
Mm-hmm.
At 50.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Then, I mean, and then seriously, you may be getting Tyke Smith healthy and you know, whether he plays against Vanderbilt is irrelevant. You
know, big fella. Easy.
If I'm a Georgia, you know, somebody uses Simon, you're just a homer. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not really. But were I a Georgia fan, I think you have to be, some kind of a fan of the team to be a homer. But, were I a Georgia fan, I would be really excited right now.
I mean, excited. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, let's be real. I mean, like I said, you know, Georgia's biggest enemy right now is press clippings and injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're starting to get a little healthy. I know, you know, a very close friend, guy that we works with, he tweeted out that he feels, you know, very confident but very shy for saying that he feels that this potentially is the year for Georgia. Listen, that defense has the potential to take them very, very far. I mean, there's too many intangibles to sit up here and make proclamations saying that, you know, they're going to do this, that, or the third. I don't feel comfortable doing that. But that defense does have the potential of taking this team very far, and they know that. I mean, because they play salty. Somebody was talking about the other night, just salty dogs run all up and down the field.
That's actually a good nickname for that team. As for the Heisman, and somebody asked me yesterday, the Heisman, if you were voting for the Heisman, who would you vote for right now? Matt Corral. I mean, that's who I'd vote for. I just, you know, because he's put up the gaudiest numbers in the nation. But let's see what he does. And that's right now. Let's see what he does when he plays a defense like Texas A&M or Alabama, or when he goes up against Auburn. That's the thing with Alabama, Hugh, is that they do have to play Auburn and Ole Miss and Texas A&M, you know, even LSU. I mean, even Arkansas. I mean, you know,
Arkansas. Well, Sam Pittman's done there. Good, yeah.
You know, so that's kind of a gauntlet that Alabama faces here. So, and who knows? what's going to happen here. This is why it's interesting. I mean, Georgia just has – Georgia's biggest thing is avoid that Georgia game at the wrong time, like against Arkansas where you just play a bad game. Georgia will play a bad game. But if you play it this week, if you play bad this week against Vanderbilt, that's your bad game. So what? You play bad against Vanderbilt, you win 32-3. That's a bad game against Vanderbilt. That's where you have to kind of, you know, pick your spot to play your bad game. We now venture into, at the top of the hour, Hughes World.
What are we talking about? We're going to talk about something, though. I forgot we're doing this.
That's okay.
We're going to talk about something.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.